Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians. So let's follow along. Chapter 1, Paul begins it just like most of the letters of the New Testament by identifying himself as the writer. And he gives some of his credentials. Who is he to be writing this? Paul, an apostle. An apostle literally means one who is sent, one who bears the authority of the one who has sent him. Paul is an apostle, and note what he says, he is sent not from man nor by man. Paul makes clear here, as he will spend a great deal of time in the latter part of this chapter, emphasizing that his mission, the words that he speaks, are God's alone. This is not of human origin. When Paul went on his first missionary journey to what is now southern Turkey, to those towns and villages of Galatia, Paul went as an apostle, as one sent by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not go by his own whim, his own desires. He went as a missionary preaching the gospel of God himself. And now he writes to those same people that he shared the good news of Jesus with previously. And he says, once again, he writes under the authority of God himself, not on his own. And Paul is not alone in this. He says, and all the brothers with me. He writes out of a community to the community of the faithful of God. An apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, to the churches in Galatia. And here Paul speaks the gospel to them. He speaks the gospel that is at issue in this letter among the people of the Galatians. He speaks the gospel first when he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. We heard a year ago when we looked at Ephesians, the beautiful summary of the gospel in two words. Grace. It is free. It is a gift from God, bought with the blood of Jesus. Grace. All of God's riches at Christ's own expense. And what does the gospel present to us? What does the gospel work for us? It works peace. Peace with God. We no longer have God as an angry judge, but we have him as a loving father. We are no longer at enmity, in conflict from God, running from God in shame. We now have God who is for us, who is with us, who loves us. This is what the gospel is, grace and peace. But not only that, Paul goes on to further explain specifically what the gospel is. In verse 4, he says, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Jesus Christ giving himself freely, giving himself gladly for our sins. And we realize how dark, how black, how desperate our sinful nature is, that the perfect Son of God had to give himself into death and torment and judgment on the cross so that we could be free, so that we could be rescued. But that's exactly what the gospel is. That good, sweet news that Jesus did that for you and for me out of love. That he gave himself freely into those torments. That he freely suffered the judgment of God for our sins. To rescue us. To rescue us from this present evil age. This age that is dominated by our sins. By the devil. By death itself. Jesus has come to rescue us from it. When you read through Galatians, you note that at the very end of the book, Paul speaks of a new creation. A new creation. The gospel is that wonderful announcement that a new era is dawning in Jesus, that God is breaking into this old era dominated by sin, death, and devil, and giving a new world, making a brand new world right from the moment of Jesus' death on the cross and even with his ministry. God is breaking in to break us out of the dominion of sin, death, and devil. That's the gospel. The great rescue mission of God to begin to make everything new, even ourselves. Thanks be to God that He loves us so much that He has done this for us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus crucified and risen for us. But now this letter is different. This letter is different than any other letter that Paul wrote, because in other letters, Paul will write about his thankfulness for the people to whom he's writing. Paul will write about the things that he's seeing in which he rejoices to God about what's happening in them. There's none of that here. Paul is concerned. Paul is anxious. Paul is deeply distressed about the spiritual condition of the people in Galatia, and he goes right to it. He says, instead of, I thank God for you, I rejoice that this is happening in you, he says instead, I am astonished. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is desperately concerned because other people have come in after him and are preaching some other thing that they call good news, but is not good news. They are preaching some other message to the Galatians, and the Galatians are being led astray. And Paul is desperately concerned. Why? Is he concerned because, well, I wanted you to listen to me, and now you're listening to these people? No, this is not about Paul's own personal ego. I'm concerned because you used to believe these different things, and now you're believing these different things. You're just signing up for a different set of teachings. Kind of, but why does that matter? Why is Paul so passionately concerned? Because when they leave the gospel, they're leaving God Himself. They are deserting the one. They are deserting the one who called them. God, who called them through Paul, through the preaching of the gospel. They are quickly deserting God Himself. When they leave the gospel, they're leaving God. They're leaving this relationship with God, and that is what distresses Paul. He wants them to remain with God here and for all of eternity. What's this other gospel they're getting? When you read through the rest of the book, you realize it's Jesus plus something. Jesus plus something else is being added to the gospel, and that deteriorates the gospel. It destroys the gospel. Jesus plus anything else is not the gospel. And the other something else, the Jesus plus something that's happening here with the Galatians, you have a group of people with a Jewish background coming in to this Gentile, non-Jewish group, and they're saying, you know what? Jesus is all well and good, but you also need this. You also need to be circumcised. And Jesus is all well and good, but you also need to follow the ways and the laws of Moses like the Jewish people of old. You also need to observe the Sabbath day and different feasts and festivals and months and years. Jesus plus circumcision. Jesus plus obeying the Mosaic law.
Jesus is fine, but he's not enough, they are saying to the Galatians. You need something more in addition to Jesus.
And that destroys the gospel. They're saying Jesus isn't enough to be saved. Jesus isn't enough to be right with God. You also have to do all of these other things. And as they pursue those other things more and more and more, who do they get farther away from? Jesus. And Jesus alone saves. Jesus crucified and risen again. Now, I doubt that any of you are being tempted towards circumcision and the obeying of the Mosaic law. I don't know of anybody coming to you and preaching, you better be circumcised and you better start observing this, this, and this from the law of Moses. But that doesn't mean you're not being tempted by. That doesn't mean you're not being preached from some other source, hopefully not me or Pastor John. Some other thing that you need beside Jesus? Are you being taught somewhere in some way? Are you believing? Are you living another gospel? Jesus plus something else? Are you thinking Jesus is good, but I also need this? Are you thinking Jesus is good, but I really also need to live a really strong moral life, otherwise God won't love me and won't forgive me and I'll be lost? Is it your own moral responsibility that you're adding on to Jesus? Jesus washes all your sins away. You can't be good enough to enter the kingdom of God apart from the righteousness of Jesus. Is there something else you're adding to Jesus? Are you being told that or believing that you need some kind of spiritual experience in addition to Jesus? I've got Jesus, but everything just feels like I'm going through the motions, and if I had this experience, then I would know.
Are you trying to add some kind of mystical spiritual experience to the pure gospel of Jesus
and thinking you are a second-class Christian because you don't have some kind of spiritual experience? What are you adding to Jesus? And I've seen people, even from this fellowship, being led astray by a hunger for some kind of this elusive spiritual experience, and they've gone to New Age stuff and meditation things that are not meditating on the Word of God. Are we adding Eastern spiritualities to this Jesus thing? Maybe you're just hearing the message of the culture and you think, yeah, Jesus is good, maybe for my deathbed, but what about right now? I think I need Jesus plus the American dream. I need Jesus plus a better paying job. I need Jesus plus a really solid retirement account. I need Jesus plus better vacations like my neighbor is having. I need Jesus and not a mole-ridden lawn. I need Jesus plus all sorts of things. Are you buying into Jesus plus the American dream? Is that what you need to make you full and fulfilled and at peace and content? What are you adding to Jesus? Is it even health and family? I don't know, especially at Christmas time, I hear people say over and over again that that's really what it's all about. Even people in the church, I hear people say Christmas is all about family. And if you have your health and your family, you've got everything you need. Really? If you have your health and your family, but you don't have Jesus, you are lost. Health and family are wonderful gifts from God, but they are temporary. And they are not the end-all be-all, and they do not save from the present evil age. Only Jesus does. Are you adding even good things to Jesus? and saying, that's the gospel, that's good news for me. If you strip everything else away from Jesus, do you have what you need? If you strip everything else, if everything else is stripped from you, are you content? Are you fulfilled? Are you alive with Jesus and Jesus alone? That's Paul's concern here. Only Jesus saves. Only the gospel ultimately fulfills here and for all of eternity. And Paul is deadly serious about this. So serious. Do you hear how he speaks about those who preach another gospel, which is no gospel at all? Do you see what he says? Do you hear this? He says in verse 8, and listen carefully, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned, anathema, cursed by God, cut off from God forever. As we have already said, maybe when they were with him in flesh and blood in their previous missionary teaching, maybe as he's already said the sentence before, as we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Paul speaks so strongly about this because their eternal destinies are at stake. And people of God, we need to listen to this carefully. What does Paul say? He says, even if we, he includes himself in that, right? He says, even if I, the great apostle to the Gentiles, Paul himself, if I change my tune and later come to you and speak of another Jesus, of another gospel, let me fall under that curse and don't listen to me. So people of God, how much more should people like your pastors fall under that? And the people you're reading their books and you're listening to their sermons on the internet or in your cars or on the TV, are they preaching Jesus that's in here and no other gospel? Or are they preaching something else? We have a responsibility, every last one of us, to discern what is true and what is false. You have a responsibility as you're listening, even to Pastor John and I, as we preach the Word of God. Does it match up with the Jesus that's here? Does it match up with the gospel that's here? If it doesn't, you have a responsibility to call us on that or go elsewhere to where it is being properly spoken of. This is serious, serious stuff. You have a responsibility to listen with discernment to wherever you are getting teaching from whatever facet of our society. Does it match this Jesus and this gospel? If not, don't listen. What does he say? Not only if we, he says also if an angel from heaven. Even if an angel from heaven would come and give you a different Jesus, a different gospel, let that angel be eternally condemned and don't listen. Paul, in another letter to the Corinthians, talks about how Satan, the great adversary of God and his people, how Satan can masquerade and disguise himself as an angel of light. It's incredibly important that we are discerning, again, in what we listen to. Even if it seems to be bathed in God, bathed in Jesus, even if it seems to be coming from an angel of light, we need to contrast it and compare it to what we have in the Scriptures. There was a man named Joseph Smith. Have you heard of him? Not far north of here, in Vermont, in the 1800s. And he claimed to be visited by an angel of light. And what did Joseph Smith end up with? He ended up with a different Jesus and a different gospel that the Mormon church still preaches today. A different Jesus, not one with God the Father and the Spirit from all eternity, but a different being altogether.
a different gospel, not Jesus crucified and risen for you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins, but Jesus, yeah, he's good, but you also need to fulfill all of these different ordinances of the Mormon religion, or you won't be saved and can't be sure of your security. Different Jesus, Jesus plus all this stuff you have to do. And he claims to be visited by an angel of light. Test the spirits. There's another guy who claims to have been visited by an angel of light. You've probably heard of him. Muhammad. Once again, he ends up with a different Jesus and a different gospel. Once again, he teaches and preaches a Jesus who maybe, yes, is a prophet, even born of a virgin, even lives a holy life and does miracles, but is not the true Son of God, one with God the Father and the Spirit from all of eternity. And this is not a Jesus who was even crucified for you. There is no salvation in Muhammad's Jesus. It's a different gospel. You need Jesus and another prophet and a whole bunch of other ordinances to be right with God. And he claimed to have been visited by an angel of light. We have to be discerning. Even if it is bathed in God talk, in Jesus talk, we have to say, does it match the Jesus here? Does it match the gospel here? Because no other Jesus saves. Only the Jesus, fully God and fully man, crucified and risen for you, saves. And the whole rest of this chapter, Paul pounds it home and says, once again, I'm not making this up. Don't believe this because I'm just a guy. Believe this because God himself intervened and revealed himself for me and sent me to preach this gospel. Believe this not because you liked me before. Believe this because this word comes from God and is true. The whole rest of the chapter, he outlays his own position. It's a shock that this man is preaching the gospel. He opposed it. He tried to kill the followers of Jesus. But one day, while he is on his way to arrest followers of Jesus to have them executed, Jesus himself appeared alive before him on that road. And everything changed for Paul in that moment. Right then, he knew, wow, this really is the Messiah. This really is the Christ. He really was crucified for my sins and raised for my justification, my rightness with God. This is the real deal. Paul emphasizes that his message is God's message, and you can believe it. So people of God, continue in this gospel and this gospel alone. Continue in this Jesus and this Jesus alone. Be vigilant. Be discerning. Study the word so that you know what is true and what is false, so that you know the true voice and love of Jesus, so you know this God that so loves you that he gave his son for you and continues to share the gospel with you so that you can be rescued and brought into everlasting life in his presence. People of God, remain with this Jesus, to whom be all glory, honor, and praise now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.